Abanigani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Professor Emeritus, Africana Studies Department, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Along with Sergeant Barr, we were the founders of the Black World Institute, a video and audio library of historical speeches and programs that we videoed ourselves, and a collection of historical and cultural programs that we attended. Second, we want to also recognize Brother Rashiki Maskani, who really lays the platform for this Zoom cast. His hard work, his resources to keep it going for many years, and we deeply appreciate his hard work. Cal State University Long Beach graduate, math teacher for LA Unified School District, but longtime conscious activist in the community and was among his friends with regard to it. Each one teach one, educating people to the various critical issues that we face as African people. Norman Brother Ahi out of Detroit. Again, a longtime activist, educator, with regards to speaking and discussing and keeping us abreast of what's going on in Detroit on the East Coast, as well as a conscious brother with regards to his knowledge and wisdom and understanding of our movement and our need to educate each other. Well versed on a multitude of different subjects, and then we welcome him also from Detroit. Along with Ernest McBride, a junior, the son of Ernest McBride Sr., who he is the historian and archivist of his father's legacy, longtime community builder of consciousness and activism in Long Beach, subject to COINTELPRO, his father, a counterintelligence program, but he just kept on pushing. And now they name schools and parks and recreation centers after him for his hard work in the Long Beach area. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner, where we talk about actual facts about Black and where we discuss critical issues that affect us with deep thinking and critical questioning. And we want to welcome you here. We wish all of you blessings without number, all good things without end. And we want to just get right into our subject matter. Our subject matter tonight is Black August. And some people know about it, some people don't. Why very important month and to many of us in the African American community. And so we're gonna just have this as a community forum, a community discussion on the relevancy and the importance of Black August to many people in the African American community. Ernest? Have you ever heard of Black August? And if you did, what do you think about it?
No, I'm not familiar with that term. No.
You're not? Okay, that's why we have the program, brother. But Ahi, have you heard of Black August?
Yes. Inspired by our brother and revolutionary George Jackson, who was incarcerated at a very young age for stealing like $70 or something from a gas station. And the referee in his case sentenced him from 1 year to life. Mm. And he said it was predicated on trying to encourage him not to get into any trouble in the future. However, George Jackson was a revolutionary, joined the Black Panthers. He became the field marshal for them in recruiting. I read about his Soledad Brothers, his letters that were published because I had a thing for Angela Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like really into him. And like, here's a brother who they had never really touched physically, but he had really just moved her in all kind of ways. and she would always talk about him during her plight with the government.
Yeah.
And so it was inspired on his the murder of him. They say he was trying to escape, but he was due for release. I don't have it, but it was like less than a year or something. He was due for release. And you know, the cops killed him, the correction officers murdered him. And so the people who are incarcerated, are political prisoners that are being held, resistors, freedom fighters, mm-hmm. in the prisons. Mm-hmm. Look at this day. I mean, they commemorate him.
Yeah.
During all of August, he was like murdered on the 21st in 1970, August 21st in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And from that came from the prison commemoration, it became a national thing and grew into all freedom fighters, commemorating them and meditating on them and celebrating those people who are not going to be celebrated by CBS, NBC, and ABC, you know, who are not going to be put on you're not going to be made aware of them because they're militant and they're freedom fighters and they don't want that type of representation for us. You know, once again, they want to choose our leaders. But they're freedom fighters that commemorate, they're using George Jackson. There are a number of things that occur in August that they also incorporated into Black August, and they all have to do with freedom fighters from the liberation of Haiti to you know, the Watts Rebellion and the birth of Marcus Garvey. I saw a little earlier where someone said the Underground Railroad started in August. So out of this prison abolition movement that George Jackson and his brother started and some other freedom fighters came this holiday. This not holiday, but this commemorative event for the month of August.
All right, that's a good analysis, brother. Very good. Excellent. Brother Roger Key?
What was that, 1961, you said?
79 when it started.
Yeah.
Roger Key, you there?
Yeah.
Do you have a comment before I get into it?
No, I think he laid it out real well.
Okay. Well, is Machinda on yet?
No.
Okay. We're going to get started. Listen, first of all, appreciate what everybody said, if I understand correctly. And Rachi, Brother Ahi did cover it well. I'm just going to make some other perspectives along with what he would say, add to it, really. Well, what happened was Jonathan Jackson tried to break out his brother at the courthouse in San Francisco or Oakland, one of them. And they had a shootout, and the police, they never shot, the police shot and killed them and wounded another brother. Well, I think we had that brother on the show, if I'm not mistaken, Roski. And that survived. So that was the beginning of recognition. George Jackson was assassinated by prison guards, but they said he had a gun in his natural. He had smuggled a gun in his natural, and he was shot and killed while he was in prison. As he said, he was arrested for robbing a gas station, they say, which he refutes and say they got the wrong person. But they gave him 5 years, and he was in the penitentiary or more. And then they said his attorney smuggled the gun in to him. Along with Jonathan, was Angela Davis, was hooked up to the escape attempt, was that she had bought the gun that was used by one of the people with Jonathan or Jonathan was registered to Angela. And that's what gave her national notoriety. She
I remember that.
I remember she had a relationship with John Jackson while he was in prison. But Angela never was a part of the Panther movement or the Black movement. She was a socialist, and she just admired at that time Black men that, you know, were in the movement. And so she just got in the movement that way. Matter of fact, I think she's married to a white woman now. You remember, she didn't get fired for her Black activism at UC Santa Barbara, UCLA. She got fired for being teaching socialism or communism. And that was her main thing. She ran for president along with Elder Cleaver as from the freedom of him, from the Peace and Freedom Party, which is a socialist party. But let me get back to Black August. Black August did begin in San Quentin Prison in 1979. As a result of the Black prisoner, the Black guerrilla family, BGF, Black guerrilla family, they began to commemorate Black freedom fighters and resistors for Black liberation and who have stood up to the system that were either murdered, and it was like a commemoration. And that was a good thing, but mostly in the prisons that it was practiced, because the Black guerrilla family, BGF, was in throughout California prisons, and was mainly in California. But as a part of the movement, just like Juneteenth was mostly celebrated in Texas, and then they expanded it to a national holiday today. Well, they expanded Black August to include all, not just the brothers that were wrongly incarcerated or forced to go into exile because of their activism in the United States, but all Black liberation fighters and contributors to our liberation throughout history. So they go all the way back mainly to 1619, where the first ship of enslaved African peoples came. But that first ship, according to Lerone Bennett, the first group of Africans that they had enslaved were enslaved with white indentured servants. They called them indentured servants. And at that time, even the Black ones were called indentured servants. But they called that the first ship in 1619. And then that's why that's very important. Along with all the things that Brother Ahi outlined, with regards to the Haiti's revolution, and there was a number of other rebellions that Africans put forth to resist the Holocaust of enslavement and the fight for freedom, not only in America, but abroad. And so they began to incorporate those people, even Harriet Tubman, as far as the Underground Railroad, along with, as he said, the Watts Rebellion, the Ferguson, with Michael Brown, I got my hands up, and he was shot. So a lot of the activity, now we expanded it. We do it in August, along with the Watts. Matter of fact, I'm scheduled to be one of the speakers. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I do it most of the time, to watch the annual festival, because I grew up in Watts. I grew up in partially in Watts, before I moved to Compton and things of that nature. But the point is, and I'll get into that. Then there were so many other rebellions in August. And so we just not only said August, but was inclusive. And what it is a month-long celebration, Ernest. It's a month-long, and there are different ways you celebrate it. I'll get into that. But it's a month long, and there are a series of lectures, speeches, fasting, readings, and plays. They even have movies about Black August. Many Black people don't know about it, not because their teachers and others don't know. Some of them do know. They just don't teach it. Because in public school, they monitor you so much with what you teach. And if you don't have the skills to get the information in along with what they want you to teach, it's hard to get Black consciousness information in. Unless you're really a bold person, are you going to a school like Imhotep in Philadelphia or other independent Black schools like Marcus Garvey in L.A.? We had Du Bois. We had Omar Wally Ushuma in Pasadena and Ashula in Pasadena. Now we had a number of Black independent schools. They had a National Black Independent School Organization. You had Sister Clara Muhammad in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's just education was part of it. Unless you went to those type schools, it was hard for you to get that information. Public schools are very, very rough on just teaching patriotism. That's what the Pledge of Allegiance was about every morning. And that's what the Star Spangled Banner is about. You know, getting you to be loyal and committed to the country. And so anyway, getting back to Black Olive. So we celebrate this month. Now, it's important for you to understand that almost every culture celebrates their heroes and heroines that contribute to their upliftment. That's where George Washington came in, remember? George Washington, supposed to be the white man that didn't chop down the cherry tree and all that type of stuff. And Abraham Lincoln, who never told a lie. I mean, they're always uplifting their heroes and heroines. And that's what the first president days. And we used to celebrate Washington one week and Lincoln the next week. Then they combined them all to President's Day now, instead of just them two. I mean, it's just how that. And then their symbolism with regards to creating heroes through plays and through acting and through the various programs. In other words, as I told you, and I'll tell you this again, the Caucasian image you see on TV, saving the world, saving children, saving the world from monsters, and always having an ethical and moral sense to them. That's not the real Caucasian for the most part. Some of them act like that and believe that. They need a percentage to do that to make it seem real. But those in power, that's not them. They're the ones that dropped the atom bomb, two nuclear atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killing over 300,000 people, you know? And then on the Capitol, this wasn't on troops. On the battlefield, this is the capital of Japan, where the citizens were. And they said, they prayed to God, and they said, to God. And the people that dropped the bomb went and ate sandwiches and barbecue afterward. And they prayed to God that the bombs land right. And this is them, you understand? Now, the same guys that held us in years of slavery, shackle slavery. Indentured slavery, that means you could get out after you work 7 years. But shackle slavery was for life. And the horrors that went along with that Holocaust, that's the real guy. And you say, well, all of them didn't do that. Yeah, but all of them stood by and supported it by their silence or not. Damn, they had some abolition. But for the most part, they went along with it. And that's what the Civil War was fought about. So Black August is a way for us to celebrate our history and our heroes and our heroines, which many kids do not know about. I mean, they know more about Davy Crockett, Mickey Mouse, and all of those cartoon characters that saved America, fought for America, Popeye and all of that, cartoons and things of this nature, fighting Bruno and all of that. We went through all of that. And I remember, I know you remember, Ernest, when they used to have Engineer Bill on and They're not letting you to drink. We drink water because they want you to drink milk. Yeah. Red light, green light, drink milk. And all the kids that sit around the TV and we drink milk. Red light, green light. And the same thing with the lunch guy, you know, with Captain Kangaroo, all these type of things they put on in the media to throw you off, like that's who they really are. But they're the ones that have created havoc. And while you were watching TVs and seeing them as more unethical people, they were out sending missionaries, Marines, and, you know, mercenaries and Marines taking land, partitioning off resources. In order for you to live a rich life, other people had to live a poor life. And that's the way, that reality. Black always discuss these things and bring out that history and that cultural dynamic, which is very critical. As Ernest said, he had never heard of it. This is a man that is an activist. Ernest is an activist. You know, his father was an activist. Because we don't have control of the TV. Just like they tell people, they're making these universities pay millions of dollars in lawsuits, saying Jewish students and Israeli students didn't feel safe going in school during the demonstrations against genocide. But they didn't call it genocide. They called it for Palestinian, pro-Palestinian rallies. When they was against the killing of babies and children and bombing, inconsistent bombing, and their frustration, the reason they keep bombing, not just to kill, they're angry that the Palestinians haven't given up yet, that Hamas has not surrendered, that they haven't given up the hostage, and that's their resilience. Just like they wanted us to be in slavery forever, but our efforts to get free and liberation movement and freedom movement while we were here, setting plantations on fire, runaways and other type of struggle. You very seldom hear about those great leaders, Denmark Vesey and all the other African leaders, John Brown and Nat Turner, all of them as heroes and heroines. But if they were Caucasian, they'd be just like William Tell, you know, riding through the village saying, you know, we're free, they're coming. And that's the critical aspect of us learning our history, learning our culture, so we can pick out our heroes and we can sanctify them. You know, we can get them to push up because they don't want our kids to emulate them. They'd rather for our kids to emulate their white heroes who suppressed them. You know, that's why they're talking about bringing back all those Confederate flags and all those monuments that they had taken down and put in storage. They're talking about bringing them all back. So these are people that was really against the Union, against unification. But they're talking about bringing them back. And so this is why the struggle for us to celebrate ourselves is important. Why Kwanzaa is important. Because Kwanzaa wasn't something that they asked America, can we have a holiday? This is something that we took, Black History Month. We just took it, you understand, as a part of our liberation struggle versus versus them saying this is a national holiday and them defining it. So now you got Walmart talking about Martin Luther King. But they don't talk about that the March on Washington was about America writing a blank check for freedom and liberation versus they rather turn it into a dream. This was just a dream. But 100,000 people didn't go there for a dream. They went there to demand for America to change its ways and to be a better country. But the European then turned it into just about dream. So anyway, any response, Ernest?
Yeah, because a lot of that, because I've always looked upon, I didn't have the opportunity, advantage to get in Black studies because they didn't have it. You know, I was in school and out before they started BSU at Cal State Long Beach.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get that opportunity, but like, I'm just kind of been picking it up along the way, but I always looked upon the South as criminals because you pulled away from the United States and then we had a civil war. They should have been arrested after the war.
Yeah.
Hung up and they were so adamant about hanging people. Those are the people that should have been hung. And then, like you say, they're trying to, the daughters of the revolution and all that crap, they're trying to, you know, heroes, you know, make heroes out of them when they was actually criminals. Because yeah. Stonewall Jackson and all them people were criminals, you know.
Mm-hmm. Trying
to say they're heroes now. Mm-hmm. So always, that never set well with me. I never bought that argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'd always told my dad, we talked a lot. I said, if we ever do get any freedoms, it'll be from Blacks, you know, Southern Blacks that lived in the South and know how it is. Because Northern Blacks, we out here and we didn't really know, you know, what they're going through, only what we read about. And then a lot of that's biased. You know, you can't really get the true facts out of all the news media because they're going to taint it toward them, you know, where they were right and the rest of us were wrong, you know, and they try to make heroes out of them, you know. That just never set well with me to begin with. Praise the criminals, you know.
Yeah, that's just like Netanyahu said, ain't nobody starving in Gaza. He said that.
I mean, he got a lot of nerve, and I thought, now there's a guy, man, he's the worst person on earth.
Uh-huh.
And then here, Trump, you know, you man, you should have stopped his ass a long time ago.
Yeah, well.
Now they want to take over the whole Gaza Strip because they can use it for tourism and because it's beachfront property. So yeah. He take over the whole place now, so he's continuing the whole war, and then Trump sitting up there letting him do it with not
really helping him with the weapons.
I'd like to know the families that's behind Trump, because he don't have that much intelligence to do this shit that he's doing. You know, I'd like to know all them 1%ers that got that money that's really in behind this stuff.
Yeah.
So you never find out who they are, you know, buying all the elections, and they get some fool like him in there and then they backing him, you know. So this is, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
how the hell are we going to stop this stuff, you know?
I'm going to get into that in a minute.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Brother Machenda showed up.
Okay. He can catch up with us.
Yes, I like to say, Brother Ernest, since my grandfather came to Hamtramck, Michigan in the 20s, every Northern man, that every brother that ever had to work around white people or had to work under white people or for white people,
yeah,
know about white people. We get it just like anybody else get it, those brothers down in the South, it might be more blatant. But these devils up here in the North, brother, in the state of Michigan, in the Midwest, they are second to none. Believe it. In my lifetime, they was hanging people. In Dearborn, Michigan, they was finding brothers hung in Hines Park. That's in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's less than 15 miles from my home now. So we are catching it all over America. Yeah, the brothers down there, they got to deal with them, and they a little bit more political maybe even practical in their approach. But we got some up here that's, you know, 100% behind this heathen that's in office right now. And some that even feel like we should still be in slavery, enslaved. So this is a wonderful thing as far as our freedom fighters are concerned. We need to celebrate them. We need to celebrate the brothers who are in prison that are there for political reasons or for fighting for our liberation. And this is a wonderful thing to look through our history. So we have, like Professor said, so these are our idols. These are the people who put it all on the line for us. And we need to spread the word through our fashion, because they're not going to do it. They don't want us to learn about this lick. When Clinton was talking about, what's the brother that just passed that had said about the good trouble?
John Lewis,
yes. He got up there, praised John Lewis, and tried to get a slide in remark about Stokely Carmichael, about Kwame.
Yeah.
So he trying to play both sides. He said, you know, for a while there, they was going too far to the left with Stokely at John Lewis' funeral. Yeah, they was going a little far too, but they came right back to the right side.
Oh, man.
They see these devils. So we need to, our Stokelys and all the rest of our heroes that put it all on the line for us for some true liberation, that I'm all with the Black Caucus. Yeah. I'm all with it. Thank you, Professor.
Yeah. But see, it's when you have to ask them, can you do something, you in trouble. Because they're going to say, yeah, you can do it on these conditions. And they'll scream what you want to do. And then we'll tell you what part you can take in. This is what John Lewis said at the March on Washington, that he had a speech he had to throw away because the moderate Black people didn't want him to criticize the government so bad. Because John Lewis was going to talk stuff at that time as the president of SNCC, Student for the Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. But let's get back. You'd be surprised how this system has won the hearts and minds of our people. And when I say that, it was with a euphoria and a situation that we want to be like them. We want to be able to go to Disneyland. Remember that one time you couldn't go to Disneyland. One time you couldn't even get a hotel, even entertaining in Vegas. You know, segregation was his, he said, in the North. They just did it, not as blatant. They'll do it policy-wise, such as you couldn't, that's why you had so many segregated communities in the North and South, and still have segregated. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King said Chicago was more dangerous than Alabama. You understand? I'm just trying to tell you that this was a national activity. Now, there were some whites that supported Africans being free and things of this nature. But they really weren't congressmen and senators that passed laws. They weren't people with a bunch of money that could build armies and resistance. You know, they had to do everything undercover. You understand? If you ever see some of the Black people that work with Black people, you know, they didn't want to be known publicly. You see what I'm saying? Because of the term nigger lover. You understand? Matter of fact, they were very hard on miscegenation, Blacks and white mixing sexually. That's what Jack Johnson got jammed for having a white girl taken across the line. These were laws and policies.
Right, slave act.
Yeah. People got to get prejudice mixed up with racism. Racism allows you to be prejudiced against people of color. If you didn't have the institutions and the policies, at Natasha Harlan's trial, and I was part of the demonstration, they interviewed me, I said, racism is not the Asian shooting Natasha. It was the courts even though she was found guilty, given her probation. That's the racism. Institutions and policies. See, Martin Luther King was fighting against segregation and all. We were fighting against overt and covert policies of denying us our humanity, as Malcolm said. And so this is why we as Ernest asked, what do we do? Well, first of all, we continue to struggle. You understand, as long as you struggle, and what are you struggling to do? Struggling to be ourselves, to be who we want to be, not who the system say we have to be in order to be accepted. You understand? I mean, and what do I mean by that? Instead of freedom, we want to free ourselves so we can be ourselves. So if I want to wear a dashiki, want to name my kids African names, or express myself in my culture way that is not bad or ugly or nice, or that we see the beauty in the best of us as a people. See, it's easy to demonize Black people, like they demonize the immigrants. At one time, they were demonizing us. We were the ones causing all the crime. We were the ones that was raping. We were the ones that was doing the drugs. They called us dope fiends, and they called their kids substance abuse. You understand? Until it got out of hand. It's to this day, they call it the misuse of substances now. Not even the abuse. It says misuse. You understand, when it comes to their kids, they don't want to demonize them. They got so to the point that the same drugs they put Black men in for life and 30 years is legal now.
Yeah.
You know, weed is legal. And then, matter of fact, you put it in food and can. They got weed stores now. You understand? I'm just telling you, man, it's a different. And unless you monitor the courts and see the differentiation in sentencing, where a white boy get caught with 10 pounds of weed and a brother get caught with 5 joints, he gets 5 years, and this guy get a probation and an opportunity to get off probation and get the case dropped if he gonna do everything in probation, or they come back and resentence him or commute his sentence. Here is two brothers on trial, the Menendez brothers.
Yeah.
Assassinated their mom and daddy for money. Now, all of a sudden, they didn't turn it around. Oh, the reason we killed them, they were sexually abusing us. There ain't no reason to kill nobody. You turn them in. Yeah. You know, if we jumped up and say, we shot our mother and daddy because they were sexually, well, why did you kill the mama? If it was the daddy that was,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Was she abusing you too? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, but they can twist it around. I remember working in juvenile hall, and I know Machinda knows this. In public, some of these white people do kids that do heinous crime. In public, they give them you got to stay in juvenile hall until you're 25. And then about 5 years later, they'll come back and resentence them, and they'll be out on the street. You know what I'm saying? You didn't even know it. You didn't even hear about it. Machinda, you have any response to Black August? What we discussing?
Yeah, you know, Black power. You heard of that. But listen, I just want to, you know, reflect, like I say, it's, you know, a powerful month historically. And I just want to add for the record, let's not forget Hurricane Katrina that hit the Black city of New Orleans back in August of 29th of 2025. Very pertinent, very in line with what you're talking about tonight. You're talking about demonization of Black people and the whole campaign to demonize us, to project us as, you know, what we're not. And so the propaganda and the subterfuge. If you look at there's a documentary that came out in 2025, just came out, Hurricane Katrina, race against time. And I challenge everybody to look at it. It's of course, it's on streaming. I think it's on Hulu and it's on Disney Plus. It's on some of these other channels or whatever, but you got to look it up yourself. But, you know, I just happened to have access to that and I watched it this week. And, you know, I was living here when Katrina hit, you know, I live 30 minutes from New Orleans. So I was right in the whole midst of it. I had over $60,000 worth of damage in my house, you know, and I was across the lake, but I'm still 30 minutes. But my whole point is, if you look at that docuseries, and there's several, there's episodes. I haven't looked at all the episodes. I had to stop watching it, you know, because, you know, I became like, wow, I need to dial it back a little bit. Cause although when they said this thing was coming, we got out of Dodge, you know, I was in Lafayette, you know, that's where, you know, I think I got the last hotel room in Lafayette. It took me 8 hours, which would normally take me about 3 hours. From where I was at the time, it took me 8 hours to get to Lafayette. But the whole point of it is, if you look at this Race Against Time, Hurricane Katrina docuseries, you'll see it's a not a microcosm, it's a macrocosm, because this is a huge situation. One of the biggest storms that hit America, Category 5, and how we were treated as people. People, we heard all the war stories. They said we were raping, we were doing this, we were doing that. But when you look at when you hear the testimony from the citizens and the people, white and black, the white, you know, the newscast, the different folks, you know, they talk about the explosions, how they blew up the levees and all that kind of stuff. You know, nobody don't want to talk about that. You know, of course, you know, that to direct that money. But the whole thing, how FEMA and the federal government responded to black people, you talk about Haiti, you talk about any atrocities that go on the planet. This is up there with some of the worst atrocities on the planet. Not so much deaths. I'm sure there's been wars or different things where more people died. So that's probably worse, you know, when somebody's dying. But to see people, humans out there, our people suffering at the Superdome, and the neighborhoods and the people that were sick and babies dying and people dying. And this is real footage that they're showing. They're showing real time, real footage when it was going on. And we'll see how this demonistic government, this lack of concern. Of course, I heard you talk. I mean, if we're turning to them to look for our, you know, like, you know, look for, you know, some kind of savior, to look for our salvation or something. Yeah, we got to toe up. We have to demand and command. We have to create our own salvation. We can't do that. But we were helpless, sitting in a situation where you had poor black people that all different ages that could not leave. The poor could not leave. They said, "Hey, everybody, get out." The mayor, "Get out." Everybody say, "Leave." When you don't have no transportation, when you don't have no means to get out of there, no money, no nothing, you got to stay where you're at. And man, it was just, I'm telling you, if you see this documentary, and I'm telling you, I was here when it went down. I know all, I got my own war stories. I can tell you some things. And I know other folks in New Orleans, I got relatives, my people from New Orleans. I can tell you all kind of stuff. But when you see this documentary that was, is it Ryan Coogler, the brother that put on these different kind of movies and things? He put his twist on it. He put it together, his package. And man, so this has to be something that we have to, I won't say salute, but make it a historical reference in time and in the not too far future. I mean, not too distant past, 2005, where the government showed their ass, you know, as far as resources, far as, you know, you talk about, you know, all this religion, love thy neighbor and all this other bullshit, excuse my language. I just had to say it like that because really it will drive you to that point to make you understand that, you know, hey, ain't nobody coming back for you. That's the thing. That's it's kind of a it's not even it's not a metaphor because it really happened, but you can use that as, hey, ain't nobody coming back for you. You know, you waiting for the buses to pull up. Ain't no buses coming. Eventually, buses came 4 or 5 days later. You got people that had died. The news was the helicopters were coming in. They said people are shooting at the helicopters. So the helicopters that were bringing in supplies or going to rescue people, they started turning away because they were getting this propaganda. They were saying people were being raped and all these other things. A lot of this wasn't even going on. You know, I can't say that nothing didn't go on, but I'm saying is, but they demonized it and made that the picture of what was going on. So I would like to say every August, you know, this has to be commemorated, you know, how we struggled in that situation. It's one of the deepest, it's beyond belief that when you see that documentary called Hurricane Katrina, Race Against Time, it's gonna twist your cap. Okay. So anyway, I want to pay homage to all the brothers, the BGF, the Black Panthers, Jonathan Jackson, George Jackson, all the brothers and all the freedom fighters that have come, like Brother Yat Ahise, the people that stood up for us to make us where we are today. You know, so you know, we keep the struggle going, but I'm done.
All right. Lashinda, did they talk about how the people were stacked and packed in the Superdome?
It's no question. They were in the dome. They showed you people suffering in the dome. Oh, it's real life depiction of what went on in the dome and all of that. I said, well, who's filming this? But you know, we got phones, we got cameras, you know, the news media. And Ryan Coogler, the brother that's out there making money directing movies now and all that, he put it together. Oh yeah, you got to check it out. It was in the dome. It was in the neighborhoods.
They cracked back and indicted the mayor for criticizing.
He was a multi-billionaire and he got caught up. They say he got caught up in something, but we know how that works. We know how that works. You know, it's all about we'll interpret and reuse the policies and laws against you whenever we want you. We'll flip the script on you and say, okay, where, like you say, everybody else, this is legal. This everybody's okay with it. You know, no problem. Look at the mayor of New Orleans. That's a strong sister. I think she lived in Compton, L.A. But she's the mayor of New Orleans, straight up. And Mayor Cantrell. And she's fearless and she keeps her head up. But they try to say she's taking all these trips. She's still taking trips. She said, "I'm the mayor. I'm from a major tourist trap, a major city, and I can take trips as part of my budget." But they're looking for everything. Her and her security went to a hotel room up in the French Quarter, up in New Orleans, down there off the foot of Canal Street in the French Quarter. Well, hey. They grown-ups if they want to hang out, but they say, well, you know, oh, she's having sex with the security guy. Look at it, they got film or whatever. These are grown people. She said they were just having meetings. That's her security. But they didn't see there's no footage of them in the bed having coitus. You understand what I'm saying? They wanna fantasize about what these grown-ups are doing in this hotel room, you know. But one thing I like about her, she don't flinch. Okay, now let's talk about the Black woman who runs the sheriff's department in New Orleans. Now, that Black woman, they had about 11, I think it was 10, 11, 12 escaped from the prison. It was a setup. It was a setup. You know, it was a setup, but then they're going to blame her. Okay, but then when she says, hey, city council, we need some resources, although it's a parish-wide sheriff department, like the county versus the city, but still, the city of New Orleans and they have a commitment from the city council and the mayor to help support the jail, the local jail structures, because they're in need of resources, money to do this, to make corrections and to add this and do this. Well, they it's all political, and these are strong Black women, but they want to weaken them. They want to make them weak. They want, like Kamala Harris, they want to make them feel weak. You don't have to vote for Kamala if you don't want to, but don't make her, don't try to, the woman, she wouldn't have been the attorney general. I don't care who she know, you're still the attorney general of California. You ran for president, you're the vice president. You're not a weak person, but they want to make like she's dumb and she's weak. And back to the demonization, it's the same thing. You don't have to support the politics that, or she might, you might not believe with this topic and that topic or what she's talking about, but still, when you have a onslaught, you know, what's the brother's name? Dr. Tony Martin talked about the Jewish onslaught, wrote a book called The Jewish Onslaught. And they wanted to demonize him when he was over there at Wellesley College, where Hillary Clinton went to school. He was over there talking about the Jewish involvement in the slave trade. When you start talking about them folks, when you start pointing the finger at them, they're going to try to ostracize you. They're going to try to put you out your misery. And some of the brothers that we talk about, in this conversation with August, you got all of them. They say what? The guy with George Jackson was trying, or Jonathan Jackson, his brother, they trying to escape, or they did this and they did that. Man, no people smarter than that, but it's all the setup. It's all the setup. The mayor of New Orleans, you said, it's all the setup. Everything's the setup. You know, they're going to use the rules, the laws, the regulations and policies against you. They're going to weaponize it against you if you are not within their protocol, within their regime, or if you're not speaking their order of the day. Look at Trump. Look at stupid ass Trump. Excuse my language. I don't mean to say it like that, but look at the dude. The Bureau of Labor Statistics say, hey, dude, you lost some jobs, man. You losing jobs. And then he gonna come and say, oh, we gotta fire you, man. You coming with some fake news. This dude gotta be stopped, man. This dude gotta be stopped. But guess what? The dude is on a rampage, man. And so all I can say is this, that when they don't agree with you, or when they're ready to come at you, or if you're not on speaking there, if you're not, that's why you got all those clones and all those people standing up for them, all those little patsies and folks that follow him no matter what. His vice president couldn't stand him. Marco Rubio couldn't stand him, talked about him like a dog. And now they act like they're his, they acting like puppies to him now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's shocking, bro.
Yep. And he bought the Supreme Court. At least four of them, five of them are all on the payroll. You know?
All on the payroll.
Yeah, all on payroll. Right. That's obvious. Don't nobody even want to criticize him. You know what I'm saying?
And Clarence Thomas is hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they caught him with money. I mean, yachts and everything else.
Right.
Homes and all kinds of things. But brother Ernest, you remember that brother Jackson who proved that Long Beach police were profiling young black males?
Yeah. He used to come over the house, and my dad, they was plotting some strategy, you know, to get him arrested so they could try to put a stop to some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, right there, PCH. His head through the window, and he was out of Inglewood. He was a former policeman.
Yeah,
and he went around dressed up like a gang member. Was walking down the street. The police just pulled him over pushed his head through the window, and they said, "You did, even though you saw that, you didn't see the whole video."
Yeah,
but go ahead, Ernest. Did you have any comment about, you know, you had Signal Hill,
Fan, you know, and that's exactly the way to do it. You get a good person in there, like Karen Bass is a good mayor, man, one of the best we've ever had. And she's a strong woman, and she's great for LA. And then Trump trying to down her, you know, so they get a good, strong black woman, man, they can't stand it, you know, so.
They can't stand man or woman.
You can see all this stuff going on, and you know they taint and frame people. They're good at that. You know?
Yeah, but brother,
somebody get too high up, they're gonna try to chop you down some kind of way.
Oh yeah, I bear witness. They put some trumped up charges on me, which I'm.
How they try to pull on you out there at the college?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go into that one day.
Yeah.
I got all kind of information to blow your mind. But Ahi,
yes, sir, brother.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, Detroit was popping.
It's popping right now.
Yeah.
It's popping. We had the election today, the election for the mayor.
How'd it go?
Well, they're still counting, but I think it's going to be the two women. I think they got by the preacher. Okay. So we're going to have two sisters vying for the mayorship in the city of Detroit. Oh, one come from a legacy family, long family legacy, and the other one is from the ground roots.
Mm.
So we're going to see how it works.
Okay, then, but there's no preliminary statistics?
Well, I hadn't seen any, you know, the polling booths didn't close until, I think, about 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
I haven't really looked at TV, but they, you know, the preliminary statistics say that the two women are going to be doing this.
But what about the, any other issues on the ballot that were important?
No, we were just choosing our council, and we're gonna get our the people who are gonna run for the mayor. Our beloved Mayor Coleman Young's son is on the ballot to become one of the city council people.
Okay.
So I think that's noteworthy, and he's been in the trenches. In his father's tradition, I must say, but there are haters out here that, you know, well, they hated Coleman because he was Coleman.
Yeah, but,
they don't particularly care for his son either. But he really talks about the issues, and I think he's more on point with the citizens here in the city than some of these other candidates.
Yeah, but what they blame Mayor Coleman for the rundown of the city because he was there so long.
Well, they left the city. They showed you who had the money. But when they got that white mayor back in, the one who was guilty of the same things that Kwame Kilpatrick was, I mean, he didn't lie on stand. They had him on film and everything. The only thing was Kwame perjured himself. But he was definitely guilty. When he got in, all that money, all of a sudden, it started flowing.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
And so now we're at that point now. We don't know if that money is going to continue. If the money does continue, is it going to be are the citizens going to be part of the recipients of that money? Or is it going to continue in the same vein where you have downtown where all the money is and some of the selective neighborhoods where some of the people who have relocated back to Detroit with money are they going to be the recipients keep on being the recipients of this renovation of Detroit, this rebuilding of Detroit? Are we going to continue to be left out? So that's the fight, and we're up against it because the money is coming from outside of the city. It's not coming from within. We sold our only money making venture, which was the water department. We didn't sell it. They came and took it when we were threatened with bankruptcy. So the game continues, but it don't stop. It don't stop.
Okay. Well, that's a beautiful thing with regards to you feel that Detroit is coming back.
Well, I would like to see us be a part of it. Like I said, it's pivotal. We're pivoting now. We do have somebody who has a family history. She's in line with the mayor. I didn't vote for her because I didn't particularly care for him. And now he's getting ready to run for governor as an independent. So he knows the political climate. He can't do it as a Democrat and get the white vote outside the city of Detroit. So he's going to run as an independent so he can get the gun-toting mercenaries in back of him. And he's still going to have some type of influence here in the city, and I'm not with his crony. I'm with Jameson.
You mean militias? You mean out there in Detroit, Michigan?
Yes, sir. The militias that are here. They are here. Okay. The militias are here, and thank goodness that those of us who are conscious and who want to take advantage of learning about your firearms, have the Black Bottom Gun Collective, who are part of the National Black Association of gun carriers here in America, and so to learn to protect yourself and your interests here in the city. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they're ready. They already tried to kidnap the governor, took over the Capitol, several other things, atrocities they committed, and nobody did any time about it. Here in the state of Michigan, they're bold, and the president has emboldened them, and like you said, make sure you got ammunition, make sure you have food that don't perish, and make sure you have some type of source to some type of income, in case, because it's teetering on that type of necessity.
Yeah, in many ways, you're correct about that, but it's a struggle because most of our, many people, not just us, it's like our parents and other people, before they were weathermen, they just looked out and watched what the animals were doing. And they saw ants grabbing, putting food away, they knew it was going to be a rough winter. So things of this nature. And birds flying away and things of this nature, they read nature. Some of us do not have to read social trends. If you go to school, you take a class called Statistics and Methods of Research. And very few of us use those fundamentals, which are just fundamentals, and being able to predict them and be able to help you understand things and teach you the principles of research and validating what you research and validating your predictions of what this lead to. It's just like they say, speeding in a car kill. Well, we don't go that by how many people got killed speeding. Well, many of us do not know how to read social dynamics that let you know, like what you just predicted, what's ahead of us. And it seems as if you're getting to the point whereas that 40% consistent base plus the white extremists are going to say, we don't need democracy anymore, because democracy is the reason we got all these racial issues and all these other issues. We need dictatorship. And it's going to be a struggle for that, you know, especially if Trump said he's not going to leave office and he's not going to have no more elections and use the military and the courts and everybody to say he has that power. Just declare a national emergency like Netanyahu is doing in Israel to stay in power and not have elections. We don't know how this is going to go, but it may lead to an armed struggle. Don't be naive. Most people at that time didn't think the Civil War would ever happen. Most people didn't think World War One and Two didn't happen. It just popped up, you know, and you got to be ready for those type of things. But Rasha T, you have any comment?
No, everybody's contributing real well, mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying the information.
All right, anybody have any closing comments?
There's a lot of stuff Trump doing now, like what you said, Dr. Rod, is kind of leading up to that, because he's putting this ICE organization he forming, so-called immigration, but yet he's putting more money into that, and it's going to be bigger than our army.
It already, that's what they were saying.
What is the, you know, for a few immigrants, this, you know, that don't make sense. So like what you say, is leading right up to that. When it come time for the election, it's not going to be an election, because he's going to have his own private army, and he's going to stay in there, and we probably stuck with this idiot. And then he got all these people backing him up, and I don't know what the hell they're thinking, you know.
Yeah, they still say he got 45% support.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
And even the presidential guys that monitor the president say so far he's been the worst president we've ever had, you know.
But he still got 40%. And he still.
And in every other paragraph, he lied. He can never get up and give any kind of talk unless he tell a lie in there, you know, and it's obvious. And then I don't get it while they've just fallen in line behind him. It's like the Pied Piper, you know.
Well, lying ain't bad. As long as it's to your advantage, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you stand for building white supremacy, and it's not just here. He's all over talking about he's going to punish Brazil for getting rid of the dictator.
Yeah, shit.
Sanctions, no, not because of trade. Boy. And people just sit there and watch him.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody talking about impeachment. Nobody.
Right. That's what they should be talking about, you know.
Yeah, they should be talking about it now. They should be talking about recall. You know, there's enough people in the country to recall
on charges, you know.
Yeah, so that's where it is.
Some of that Supreme Court that need to figure out a way, need to impeach half of them too.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you got a bunch of Democrats that support Trump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they Democrats, but they support him directly and indirectly.
Yeah.
Ain't that many of them speaking out about what Gaza is going through? Because they're on Jewish payroll. Mm-hmm. You understand, white Jewish payroll. But we'll get into that. Brother Rasha Key, what's about tomorrow?
We got Dr. B coming.
Who?
Dr. B, he's been on probably three times before. He's a colleague from Centennial, you know him.
Okay.
So he'll be on in the topic is the impact of entitlement culture on Black America. That's what we have tomorrow.
Entitlement of what?
The impact of entitlement culture on Black America.
Entitlement culture, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody for being on. We had a beautiful discussion. Well, all y'all have a beautiful, beautiful evening and a beautiful day tomorrow. All right, Rasha Key, take us on in.
All right.
Next week, I'll call you about who we're going to have on.
All right. Well, we got Conscious Corner and Each One Teach One.
All right.
Right on.
Continue to have a great day.
All right.
All right.